complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us, that he may open his word unto us to feed our souls with the truth as it is in Jesus. And that's your prayer for attention by way of text to the prophecy of Daniel in chapter 2 from which we read, and the last part of verse 35. Daniel chapter 2, the last part of verse 35. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Dear friends, there are many prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the coming of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, into this world. They were not just prophecies of the sons of Jacob, of Israel and of Judah and the prophets that the Lord God raised up amongst them. But at times, things that took place which were of the heathen, of unbelievers. We read of one this morning, Balaam, that wicked man, whom the Lord spoke through. He had to speak the words of God concerning Israel. And he blessed Israel. And he prophesied of the coming of Jesus, in that a star would arise out of a Jacob and a scepter out of Israel. And we considered the fulfilling of that prophecy this morning, reading those wise men from the east who followed that star from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And he came over where the young child was. Oh, that star, the truth concerning Christ, the testimony of it, leading on to those wise men falling at the feet of Jesus to worship him. Here we have a very different a prophecy of the coming of Jesus. Not so much as the light of the world as it was this morning, but here in the power of his might, the power to save. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense, the saving of the soul. But it's in the likeness of a great battle and the kingdoms of this earth. Nebuchadnezzar, that great king of the Babylonian Empire, who the Lord raised up. It was the time of great distress, wasn't it, in Israel and in Judah. Israel had been destroyed by the Assyrians and dispersed throughout all their kingdom. And now the time had come when Judah was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar, that great king, many were taken into captivity, many were destroyed, and so was the promised land laid waste. But dear friends, that was what Israel and Judah deserved. The Lord had rejected them because they had rejected him. They had rebelled against his word. They had gone in the ways of the heathen. They had rejoiced in idolatry As Isaiah says, they worshipped God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. And after his long suffering of many, many, many years, he brought the fulfilling of his word, that they would go into captivity, and their promised land, which was given to them, would be destroyed. And so it came to pass. But dear friends, the Lord's mercy was still there. The Lord did not forsake his people. Although he chastened them with a sore chastening, he did not forsake. Why, even the promise way back in Genesis of the coming of that seed, or we might say son of the woman, to bruise Satan, the serpent's head. Dear friends, it's prophesied of that coming throughout the Old Testament, way down to Malachi, the last of the books, and he shall come. He shall come. And in spite of all their sins, dear friends, Israel and Judah, who became known eventually as just the Jews, they are not destroyed, are they? Even down to today, they are not destroyed. As God said through Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not destroyed. Oh, they are greatly troubled, they are greatly persecuted. As we see even today with events taking place of hatred against them in our own land and elsewhere. And oh, the mysteries of those terrible scenes in the Middle East. The battle, the physical battles. Dear friends, the Lord does not forsake his people. Yes, he chastens them. And they've been greatly chastened. Because when the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah came about, they did not receive him. They rejected him. They desired that he would be put away to death, and they sought to kill him on many occasions until he laid down his own life. Not for them, but for all those who believed on him. And would believe on him. For those that received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. But those who did not believe on him, dear friends, they had a terrible death, and in the day of judgment, that will be confirmed with that everlasting fire. Oh, how solemn, isn't it? Not to be a believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here's a prophecy of this dream which Nebuchadnezzar had, revealed to him by Daniel. And in his dream, that stone which was cut out, not by hands, it wasn't the work of man, was the work of God, smote the image and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Dear friends, those images, or that image, should I say, of gold and silver and brass and iron and clay, which Nebuchadnezzar saw, represented the kingdoms of this earth. Now all times are in the Lord's hand. At this time there was just the head of gold, as he said, which was the Babylonian Empire. But that would give way to the kingdom of silver. The next one was the Medes and Persians. Then they would give way to that kingdom, that part of the image which was brass, which was Greece, which came into power. And then there was the iron. And then the feet of iron and clay, and that was the Roman Empire. And then there was this stone, not cut out by hands. In the Roman Empire time, Christ was born, wasn't he? He came, born of Mary, the Virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. And dear friends, what a small beginning. There, born in Bethlehem at the time of the taxation, laid in a manger, no room for him in the inn. But oh, the declaration by those angels to the shepherds, who then went to see the thing that had come to pass. Glory to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And they went. Dear friends, a Saviour, Christ the Lord. They saw a weak babe in a manger, as weak as we are when we were first born. And as we see babes that are born today, helpless, dear friends, Jesus, the Son of God, made like unto his brethren, as he said, in flesh and blood. But oh, dear friends, the power that was with him then. He was the Son of God. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He had might and power as the sinless Son of God. Yes, he was to grow. He was to grow in body, such as we have done. We read very little. We read very little of his growing, don't we? Back in Nazareth, we read that when he was 12 years old, he was found in the temple, came with his temple with Joseph and Mary, and he was left behind talking to the rulers and the scribes, and they were amazed at his knowledge. And when his parents, when Joseph and Mary found him, he said, "Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" The Son of God, to do that which his father had given him to do. And that was, dear friends, to preach and teach whilst he was on the earth the kingdom of God. This great kingdom that would be come through his words and his work. That which was to fill the whole world, the whole earth. The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. By his death and by his resurrection. A suffering Saviour, Son of God, made sin for his people, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. But dear friends, how few there were at his death. We read about those after his resurrection, about 500 saw him at once. We don't read of many more, do we? In that upper room, there was only just over 100 of them. When Peter and the disciples chose another disciple to replace Judas Iscariot, who had been instrumental in betraying Jesus to death. What a small beginning. But dear friends, there was the truth there as it was in Jesus. This was the stone. The stone of the truth of Christ's death. Paying the price for sin demanded by the law. The destroying of Satan's power where he could accuse the brethren of all their sins. And they could answer nothing against it, because it is true, we are sinners, all of sinners, aren't we? And Satan knows how to tempt us to sin. But Christ came to destroy that power by paying the price demanded by the righteous law of God for sin. And that was he, the innocent one without sin, one that was guiltless, to suffer as if he was full of guilt, full of the guilt of his people. And so, dear friends, all the sins of his people from beginning of the world to the end of the world, all the mystery of it laid upon Christ as he poured out his soul unto death and gave his body unto death with the plea, with the hanging upon the cross, nailed there by those soldiers, to cry out, "It is finished, it is finished. For this end was I born, for this purpose came I into the world, to pay the price for sin." Oh, dear friends, we must never forget that, the purpose of Christ's coming. And dear friends, it seemed to be the end, didn't it? His disciples. Why, those two on the Emmaus Road, the testimony of those. We thought it was he who should redeem Israel. But he's dead. 3 days ago, he was crucified. There was the women who said, they went to the tomb. It was empty. He wasn't there, but they did not see him. Dear friends, they were cast down with unbelief and fear, as if they'd been deceived that Jesus would redeem Israel physically in the way it was in the days of David and Solomon and be a kingdom of itself upon this earth. Dear friends, Israel today will never be a kingdom of its own upon the earth. Christ Jesus, his kingdom, through him alone there will come peace. Through Jesus alone and believing in him, he is the peace. And dear friends, this peace has to be revealed, doesn't it, to all? Because without that teaching by the Spirit of God, we shall never come to the knowledge of the peace of our pardon sealed and peace with God. Oh, this stone, this solid stone, this rock, as we might say, of the truth of the work of Christ wrought out at Calvary. But it seemed to be a dead work, laid in the tomb. But not only was it Christ crucified to pay the price for sin, it was Christ rose again. The stone was rolled away. Nothing could hold it. Those soldiers put there to guard it, they came as dead men. Christ arose, triumphant over sin, the power of it. Satan was now destroyed. The price of sin was paid. He could no longer accuse the brethren. And Christ arose to give eternal life to all those for whom he died. Oh, ye shall live also. Oh, and those fearful disciples in the upper room. Yes, those two on the Emmaus Road who had returned there. Jesus came and stood in their midst. And what was his words? Peace. Peace be unto you. Behold my hands and my feet. My wounds, wounds of death, to pay the price for your sins. And they were fearful. Oh, dear friends, but the joy and joy of the heart, especially Peter, who denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Oh, his sin had been put away. He was a sinner saved by that grace of Christ who gave himself a sacrifice for his sins. Peace be unto you. Oh, what love. What pardoning love. Yet, dear friends, there was only those 12 disciples. But the word went out from Jesus to them, didn't it? Go in unto all the world and preach the gospel. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And they began at Jerusalem. What a small beginning. But the promise was, dear friends, the prophecy was that this image became that the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And dear friends, it has come to pass, hasn't it? Little by little, kingdom by kingdom, as it might say, throughout the whole world, the truth as it is in Jesus has been preached. Not only through Peter and James and John and those other disciples, preaching at first just in Jerusalem. But when persecution came after the stoning of Stephen, persecution caused those disciples to go further afield. But they were preaching only to the Jews at first. And so it was with Paul when he was sent to the Gentiles. He only preached first of all to the Jews. And we find in that Acts of the 13 when he was preaching at Antioch. Dear friends, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. God raised Jesus from the dead, whom they slew and put him in the sepulchre. But God raised him again. He saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. The next Sabbath day, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them. Oh, dear friends, how the Lord began to work in the power of his Spirit in the hearts of the Gentiles in that time. Some of the Jews believed, yes, a majority of them didn't. But there were these Gentiles wrought upon by the Spirit. And the next day, the next Sabbath day, came the whole multitude together to hear the word of God. And Paul said, "The Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Unto the ends of the earth. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. You know, dear friends, where the Lord has a purpose, though small might be the beginning, if it's in accordance with his will, and especially the prophecy of old, it shall come to pass. We do not know when or how, but, dear friends, we can look back upon these things that took place. And we can say, yes, the word of God has come to pass. That word, even in, is it Isaiah chapter 45? Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and ye shall be saved. Those are the words of Jesus before he was born as the eternal Son of God, speaking from heaven the word of God unto the prophet Isaiah. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Well, dear friends, that promise is still the same today. We read, don't we? Again in the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Micah concerning the last days. I'll just turn to it. In those last days, there shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord. See this great mountain, which was prophesied in that vision of Nebuchadnezzar. This great mountain was the church of Christ. Profession of the truth as it is in Jesus. His kingdom. Oh, what was the prayer of Jesus to his disciples? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And dear friends, that will be our prayers, the pattern of our prayer. that this truth as it is in Jesus be proclaimed throughout the whole world, and even in us, our own hearts. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion. Dear friends, that's not the law of Moses, although it is to be acknowledged. And of course, under the law, we find ourselves guilty of sins. But this was the law of God's grace, that new covenant, where iniquities are pardoned and sins remembered no more. The law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's where it began, wasn't it? Where Christ was crucified, where he rose again, where those disciples were sent forth into all the world to preach the gospel. And dear friends, how it has filled the whole earth. That word has gone through. Is there any place today which has not received the word of God? Oh, we live in the day of technology. And dear friends, I think the word of God has been proclaimed throughout the world more so today perhaps than it ever has been, because of the facilities that are available. The Trinitarian Bible Society. Oh, they're still printing new Bibles, aren't they, in the varied tongues. So many tongues, different dialects and so forth, even in India and other parts of the world. Dear friends, the word of God has gone forth into all the world. And what does Jesus say, recorded by Mark? And when these things come to pass, then the end shall come. The end shall come. Dear friends, we're living in solemn days. As the evils against the truth as it is in Jesus mount up, don't they? Worldwide and in our own country. But the word of God has gone forth. And dear friends, as the prophets have said, it will fill the whole earth, Jews and Gentiles. But dear friends, very solemnly, that will be fulfilled and the end will come. Oh, dear friends, what does it mean to us? This great mountain of the Church of Christ, whose foundation is the truth as it is in Jesus. Is it your foundation? Is it my foundation? You know, dear friends, when Christ came into this world, there were many of the Jews amongst whom he went in Galilee and Judea, and who heard him preach, who heard him and saw him do the miracles, testifying that he was the Son of God, he was above the power of man, and they believed him not. Oh, the hardness of their heart would not cause them to believe. The God of this world blinded them, as we read of Paul speaking. Dear friends, if those things were the things of those days, how much today? Where the whole of the word of the truth of Jesus has been declared. And you've heard it, haven't you? You're hearing it today, the truth as in Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins. Have we the assurance that we are his and he is ours? That he came to save us from our sins? Or are we amongst those, like those Jews where it says he came unto his own received him not. Oh, the gospel came unto us, and we received it not. Not being mixed with faith, with us that heard it. Oh, dear friends, this is a searching thing, isn't it? Can we say assuredly within our hearts, I know this sacred truth as it is in Jesus. I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. I know that season, that time in my soul when, oh, I was convicted of my sinfulness before a holy God. And he granted that blessing upon my soul. I cried unto him for pardon and for peace. And he granted the desire of my heart. Oh, that love that came within my heart. Oh, that softness now of my heart in love to Christ, because he's suffering for me to pay the price for my sins. Dear friends, this will humble you, won't it? It'll be humble you under the sound of the gospel, that where there's so much sin in the scriptures and the judgment for sin, Christ has came and delivered you from it. The truth as it is in Jesus. You're a sinner saved by his grace. And you have that hope of eternal life. Oh, there'll be many, many dangers which come between now and then. You'll be tempted and tempted and tempted again. Yes, your own heart within you will want to go contrary to the word and the grieving the spirit and those lusts of your flesh and that which you want to do yourself. Oh, your desire to go in and out it, and Satan knows how to tempt you as well. But dear friends, that won't be the great temptations. There'll be the temptations of your bodily exercise. That there's the temptation of your soul. In this world we shall have tribulations, we shall have troubles, we shall have sorrows. As the Church of Christ always has, the people of God always have. And dear friends, they'll be no different to the unbelievers. We shall all have sicknesses, we shall all have pains. We shall all be subject to the authorities that rule over us. We shall be subject to the environment, to the storms and tempests and the droughts and the floods. And there'll be so many things that, dear friends, will affect us. And there'll be sickness, and there'll be sorrows, there'll be deaths, and there'll be great sadnesses in our lives. Dear friends, it's then when Satan comes in, using these tribulations, these temptations. And it was, I heard one minister say once, it's like as if he'll sit upon your shoulder, and he will whispering in your ear all sorts of lies. Oh, your God is not a gracious God. He's not a God of love if he will let all these things come upon you. Oh, he's forgotten to be gracious. He's not real. It's the imagination of your heart. There is no God. I am the ruler of this world. Oh, dear friends, you've sunk very low in faith, aren't you? The sore temptations, the fiery trials. This is where we need this rock of the truth that is in Jesus, isn't it? Oh, this rock of the truth of these precious promises. He is faithful that hath promised. Oh, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No. He is faithful. None shall ever pluck thee out of my hands. I have overcome Satan. Yes, he will tempt you, he will annoy you. But lay the matter before me in prayer. Be careful for nothing, as I said this morning, compared to Paul. In prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. It might be just, Lord, help me. Lord, save me in your great temptation. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall rule your heart. The Lord is there. He will not let you be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make that way to escape that you're able to bear it. Oh, dear friends, this is the truth that is in Jesus Christ that has gone throughout all the world. He knoweth them that are his. And dear friends, a wonderful thing, the greatest thing we can possess, if we know that we are his. and he is ours, and we can trust in him at all times. Ever pour out our heart before him and tell him all the truth. One word that just comes to me now is in Hebrews. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Dear friends, in this day of evil, days of temptation, days of trial, let us be mindful one of each other. We need each other's prayers, don't we? To lay each other before the Lord in the times of, oh, one and another might fail. We don't judge them. We're to bear them before the Lord in prayer. To uphold them, the Lord will appear for them. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's our saving grace. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We to hold fast ourselves in faith and then considering one another. To provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Every day, one day more, dear friends, is one day less in our lives, is one day less towards the end of this earth. As we see the day approaching, exhorting one another, praying one for another, considering each other in love. Dear friends, that's how the testimony of Jesus has gone throughout the world. In love to the Lord through his love for us, and walking in love one to another. It's a power that the world cannot overcome. The kingdoms cannot destroy it. All the temptations and rules and regulations and persecutions and executions, dear friends, they will never destroy it. No, the truth as it is in Jesus has gone throughout all the world. And dear friends, the time will come when it is to be no more, when the last of the Lord's people has been saved by grace. Oh, may we be ready for that day. Until then, to walk in love. Unto Christ who hath loved us, to walk in love one to another, because the truth as declared in the scriptures will come to pass. We see so much of it today, don't we? Oh, these prophecies which came for the coming of Jesus, the prophecies in the scriptures for the end of time. Dear friends, do give heed to the word of God. Praying unto the Lord always, that he will maintain you under the covenant of his grace, that when the end comes, your end will be one of peace, not of destruction, but in this man, in the believing of Jesus, this man shall be your peace, who gave himself a sacrifice for your sins, that you may live with him at the end of time. In heaven above. Amen.